Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 171 with Charlie Kelly.
You really have to enter that environment, being comfortable with change and being able to, you know, course correct and rejuggle priorities. It's not a great fit for folks that really want a very scripted, scheduled day. Because again, I would say no day starts out like I planned. And if I wind up crossing one thing off my proverbial to-do list or goals for the day, that's great. For me, that's an accomplishment. One out of 10 of the things I planned to do that day that I actually got done, just because the environment's changing so quickly.
For those of you interested in either finance, venture capital, private equity, or entrepreneurship, Charlie is a great interview to listen to. He's at Silicon Valley Bank, and he's worked there for a while now in a variety of capacities. I think he speaks to why veterans may or may not want to pursue an MBA. He talks about the world of finance. He talks about entrepreneurship and trends that he sees. Lots of great reasons to listen to this episode. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes featuring all the resources he recommends, as well as other great interviews. There's over 170 of these interviews now, categorized by functional role, by industry, by length of military service, and other great goodies to check out on the website. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with Charlie Kelly. Joining me today in Broomfield, Colorado is Charlie Kelly. Charlie, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, Justin, thanks a lot. Hi to your listeners.
So I wanted to give listeners a quick rundown on your background. Charlie is the managing director of the Colorado Technology Group at Silicon Valley Bank, or SVB, where he leads a team focused on providing innovative financial services to high-tech companies in the seed and series A through cash flow positive stages of development. They are headquartered in Colorado, Wyoming. I'm sorry, they invest specifically in companies headquartered in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. He started out at Duke University, after which he served as an officer in the Navy on board submarines for almost 5 years. After his military service, he earned his MBA at the University of Colorado Boulder. He then joined SVB initially as an associate with the private equity banking team, eventually leading SVB's team in the central U.S. He has worked at SVB for over 11 years now. So Charlie, to start things off, if you were talking to someone maybe on submarines or on active duty, how would you explain to them what you do as managing director of Colorado Technology Banking?
Yeah, well, I think a good place to start is what exactly SVB's focus is in the broader space, because I think we have a really unique position, and the role that we play in the innovation ecosystem drives how I spend my day-to-day activities in the office and out in the community. You know, true to its name, SVB is a commercial bank similar to a Wells Fargo or Chase or U.S. Bank. We just happen to be really focused on the innovation sectors of the economy. And the way we define that is we focus our resources on technology. So we work both with hardware, hard assets, consumer electronics, computer peripherals, network devices. We work with software, everything from consumer marketplaces and gaming all the way up to more hardened enterprise applications. We work with life sciences, so medical device, biotech, pharmaceuticals, and then we work with the equity community that helps support all of those operating companies, so the venture capital funds. And the bank has provides all the normal tools and services and products that banks do. We help manage cash. We help companies figure out how to deploy their cash, their capital, and we figure out efficient ways to help them move their money around. But again, what's really unique about SVB is over the past 35 years, we've developed this great insight, this great network, these great touch points in this innovation economy. So we're constantly figuring out how to leverage our network, leverage our experience, and try to turn that back to our companies to help them be more successful. And as far as what I do in my role at SVB is as the managing director, I serve as effectively the quarterback for the bank in our region. We tend to be really geographically focused at SVB, in particular, given how fast many of our companies move. Things are changing quite quickly. You know, they have to constantly be adjusting their strategies as they're going through these hyper growth phases. And so we found that it's most effective. We can be most impactful when we're kind of on the ground, as we say in the Navy, at the deck plate with our clients. So I'm the quarterback for SVB in the tech side of the house here in Colorado and in the neighboring states that you mentioned. And so in my role, I manage a team and manage some horizontal partners, some product experts here in the bank to help advise our clients on all those different elements that I mentioned of an operational banking relationship. So I'm out in our community helping our client base figure out, you know, the right strategy to deploy to optimize their cash or their investment dollars. I'm giving them feedback from our broader bank network as to how they might be able to operate their businesses more efficiently or grow faster. And then I'm looking for ways to help leverage the broader bank network, possibly through connections, whether they are business-to-business connections or connections to talent or connections to capital, again, to help the business grow more quickly. A lot of my time is spent, you know, directly talking with founders and the executive teams at these operating companies, as well as the other members of their board, so often the investors that are helping them to get off the ground and to scale. It's a really interesting job. No day is the same as the last.
And you know, just taking an external viewpoint, am I correct in kind of classifying you started your career more from like a private equity standpoint, and now you're more in like a venture capital type position? Is that fair?
Almost. And I'll walk through my career path at SVB because I think that speaks to some unique opportunities in the industry. And
yep.
And, you know, in a way that, you know, somebody with my sort of background, having come through, I would say, a very technical role in the military, you know, might make a transition over to the financial services. And I also think it speaks to some of the core competencies and unique elements of SVB. So the private equity part of our bank, or our private equity services group, really is set up to cater to some of the capital providers out in the broader economy. So we think about private equity as big P, big E, you know, as a set of funds of private capital that all get deployed into private companies. So versus stocks, companies that may trade publicly on any of the exchanges. And these companies or these funds are investing at companies along a continuum of development. So venture capital is most often focused on the really early companies. So it's focused on supporting teams and platforms and technologies that are really looking to find their place out on the market. They may be really cutting edge, very technical innovations, or they may be really innovative business models and service delivery mechanisms. But they're all focused on trying to solve an unmet need or trying to improve, you know, a current offering out in the market. It's high risk. There often is, you know, there's a lot of discovery in the day-to-day operations of those companies. So they're doing a lot of trial and error, a lot of testing to figure out what works. And so the investors at that stage of the continuum, those are the ones that you hear often as having these great windfalls from their investments. You know, the investors that helped to get Facebook off the ground before it, you know, eventually found its way to the public markets or Twitter or LinkedIn. Further up the continuum, we have a group of investors that focus on really scaling companies. So they want to find platforms that are de-risked from a technical standpoint or from a market standpoint. So the technology works. They know that there are buyers. Now they need to figure out ways to optimize their business and to really get them to scale. And so as you can imagine, the risk profile is a little bit different. It's a little less risky. So the return profile of those firms is a little bit different. But there still is inherent risk, and we do see companies fail in that space. And then, you know, at the upper end of private equity, you see established companies. They're looking for flexible forms of capital to come in and help them further scale, maybe go out and explore new markets, maybe go out and find other similar platforms or complementary platforms to acquire and to bring in-house and to integrate with their existing platform, again, to try to grow the business to, you know, grow the revenue or profit level back to their shareholders. So that's the whole continuum of the way we see private equity. At my first role at SVB, it was in a group called the Private Equity Services Banking Group, today called Global Fund Banking. And it was really focused, that group's focus was trying to find ways to optimize how the funds themselves do business. SVB's business model, I started off talking about the operating companies, the tech and the life sciences companies. We see our business model as focusing on concentric circles, really moving out from that core of the operating company. And so you have the operating companies at the middle of that ring. And the next layer out, you have those capital providers. So all those funds that are figuring out ways to grow businesses, they're figuring out ways to support really talented, early, you know, smart entrepreneurs with unique ideas on ways to change a market, change the world. And so my job early on was to support the fund managers and figure out, you know, more efficient ways for them to deploy their capital and to, you know, in turn help their downstream investments. For us at SVB, that's a core part of our thesis, because that's it gives us a lot of great information about what's interesting out in the broader equity community. It gives us a lot of great insight into new cutting edge technologies and how, you know, the really smart investors are thinking about, you know, picking the winners out of, you know, all the different options out in the market. You know, so for me, it was a great entree into the world of innovation banking. You know, I got to see really behind the scenes how the investment community thinks about opportunities. You know, I got to read a lot of write-ups about deal memorandums to see how, you know, these investors were thinking about placing their capital, and then how they were tracking companies as they continued to grow. And of course, was able to make a lot of connections during those first few years, which in my current role, I'm able to spin back, you know, both those connections and that information, that insight, back to the operating companies with whom I work today. So that's the really nice thing about those concentric circles of business lines that SVB has, is that, you know, they're very synergistic. One feeds the other, and as a member of the SVB team, you can, all of the roles are very complementary. The roles that SVB serves are complementary in those different touch points out in the community. So you'll see folks at SVB frequently slide around as I have, and look at different parts of the venture, private equity, innovation economy, and then move on to a different role of the bank where they can build on that knowledge and redeploy it out to their new client base.
Is this something you always knew you wanted to do? I'm curious to, you know, how did you go from submarines into this career path?
Yeah. Funny. I was certainly never, I was never intending to go into the financial services world. For me, the idea of, or the notion of entrepreneurship and just innovation had always been really interesting. You know, I came from a family background of small business owners and entrepreneurs. So, I had seen several family members go through the highs and lows of building their own business and wearing many hats as they were, building their brands, building their client base, building out their book of revenue. And for me, the challenge of creating something was always really, really intriguing. As I think many folks that go through the military, you know, the situation that they experienced, I found myself incredibly focused during the, 4.5 to shy of 5 years that I was in the Navy. high op tempo. I think of the 3 years that I was assigned to Pearl Harbor on my fast attack sub, we were probably out to sea for, 60 plus percent of that time, or at least away from home. And the rest of the time we were making sure that the boat was ready to deploy, or we were training, or, we were reviewing intel. So you're very, very focused. And I certainly from my undergrad days had lost track really of what the opportunities were in the economy, just because I've been so niche focused. So I knew I liked this idea of building things, building businesses, but I felt like I didn't really know how to direct that when I was transitioning out of active duty. So for me, the transition point was business school. I elected to come to the University of Colorado for a variety of reasons, but one of them was CU's focus on innovation and entrepreneurship. CU is based up in Boulder, Colorado. It's a community, a broader ecosystem that's had this long history of technical innovation and a long history of native venture capital. So for me, I thought I have a, I found a program that could really expose me to a lot of innovative technologies, business models, and the tools and the skills that I would need to hopefully join a team or maybe start a platform of my own, start a business of my own, and hopefully have some of these connection points that would also be great resources, mentors, sources of capital, other service providers that I could use to help build the business. Fast forward 2 years through the MBA program, I knew I still really wanted to be in innovation, but I wasn't sure at that point that my my risk tolerance was such that I really wanted to go and start my own business, putting my own capital in, going out and trying to raise more capital to do something. I wasn't sure if I wanted to join a business necessarily that was really dependent on investor capital to scale. For me, although I was really interested in just the broader innovation economy, for me, it felt much more of a better fit to find a more established platform that would really support my interest in the startup world, but give me the resources that I could use, to go out and support the founding community. And that's how I found SVB. For me, SVB was this great bridge between, the very, very established kind of corporate world, where you have a very comfortable career path, and the startup world where there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of risk, and it kind of met my professional needs on all fronts. The idea was that I joined SVB and wasn't exactly sure where my career would take me, but I felt like the bank's ethos and its mission to support improve the probability of positive outcomes for entrepreneurs, that really spoke to me. And I thought I would certainly just try for at least a couple years, try the platform for a couple years and see where it took me. And over the past 11, as you mentioned the introduction, over the past decade plus now, I've had just a lot of interesting opportunities, and the nature of the business, our client profiles, they change enough that you're constantly having to learn about new industries, learn about new businesses, learn how to interact with new entrepreneurs. So it's continued to be incredibly engaging, even 11 plus years later.
What I love about that is it seems like there's this desire to be involved with building businesses, but also the recognition that there are many ways to scratch that itch. And for those who don't either have an idea or don't have the risk or financial tolerance to dive into a early stage startup, which is generally characterized as high volatility, low pay, and putting a lot of eggs in the equity potential value basket of things, there are so many ways to still be in that ecosystem without being in that particular position. And it sounds like you found one where you can help companies grow. You can learn about what makes companies successful. You can build a skill set, but it's adjacent to what I think a lot of people always associate as is just kind of being in that startup itself. And so I like that you're articulating a career path that is entrepreneurial and has to do with entrepreneurship without necessarily being within that volatile startup.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a great summary. Yep. When I joined SVB 11 years ago, I recognized there was a lot that I needed to learn. I was only 2 years removed from operating a reactor and, navigating a sub out in the Pacific. For me, I felt even if down the road I would eventually cycle back to operating company, I found a platform that I can continue to learn, gain great experience and be involved in a community that I really, really respected.
And I had a couple questions about how someone might get into this as a career path, but I wanted to start with the MBA because I know that that's your background, that's my background, and I know from a lot of listeners they are not interested in pursuing more schooling. And I'm just kind of curious your thoughts on how big of a role your MBA played in pursuing this career path.
Yeah, good question. Because it's certainly a commitment. It's a commitment of time. It's a commitment of money. My experience, you're not really sure either going through an MBA program where exactly you're going to land at the end of it. For me, it was the transition that I needed. I've had a lot of peers make the transition out of the military in a variety of ways. I had a number of my, junior officer colleagues go and do a shore tour. So the Navy, get assigned to an operational unit. You do the sea tour for a couple of years, and then it's, expected you'll cycle back and do something that tends to be a little more grounded, a little more stationary, has a different op tempo than what you had attached to your ship. And I saw some of my colleagues use that to figure out and make the choice: am I going to stay in the military? Am I going to leave? And if I'm going to exit, what are my options? Sort of figure out their course path. In my case, the timing was such, and my career goals are such, it made more sense to make that transition earlier rather than to go through another 2 or 3 years of active duty service. And the MBA was that platform. I think it's really important for folks if they do think about an MBA program, pick an MBA program that satisfies one of two needs. It either gets you into the geography where you want to make a long-term commitment. There's a venture capitalist in Boulder, Brad Feld, with the Founder Group. When I've heard him speak several times, just giving career advice to entrepreneurs or community members or other students at the University of Colorado, and his message is always, find where you want to work, find a community that resonates with you, and then build your professional life around that. And I think that's certainly a very valid decision making path to follow. The other piece though to keep in mind is if somebody really has a specific desire to go into a given industry or a given sector, just make sure you find the program that really matches well from both a course standpoint and then from an alumni standpoint, a networking standpoint, to help you make that transition, into the right industry. For example, making a transition into finance, there are other programs that probably make a much more clear transition to Wall Street, than necessarily the path that I chose at the University of Colorado. Maybe shifting gears to the other part of your question about what are some of the other alternative paths into the space. A lot of banks do have these accession programs, these development programs, where they will take folks with at least a core level of kind of undergraduate studies and really train you into a role at the bank. As my experience, SVB just didn't have that program. At the time that I was exiting the military, they stood that up probably 4 or 5 years after I joined the bank. And it's a great program. It gives you the fundamentals of financial statement analysis and accounting, and helps you think about risk in the context of a growing business. I likened it to a lot of the programs that I had in the in the nuclear Navy, where I was learning the core skills that I needed to be an operational nuclear engineer. You know, I was a political science major in undergrad, but through power school and the prototype programs with the Navy, I was able to, you know, effectively put in an operator reactor. They taught me exactly what I needed to know for that job position. And I think there are a lot of financial services firms that will, you know, give you the skills you need to make the jump out of the military. There are also a lot of financial services firms that really recruit heavily from the Navy. I think the industry itself matches well, or I should say they recruit heavily out of the military. There are a lot of, you know, banks and other financial services firms. The environment itself is just it's a great match with the military. It is a regulated industry, so, you know, if you're used to being in an environment where details matter, you know, understanding kind of roles, responsibilities, and having this, you know, holistic like team approach to solving you know, whatever your task is, you know, where that's really important. You see that in a lot of banks and financial services groups. The leadership, you know, leadership elements are directly transferable over to running a, you know, running a team and helping to optimize a team within the a banking environment. So there are some great programs to make the transition into the banking world, in the financial services world. There are also some great programs that are outside of a traditional MBA, traditional educational path, that will give you exposure to the startup world. There's a program called Patriot Bootcamp that I've been involved with on and off for probably the past 4 or 5 years. It's actually housed under a broader accelerator platform called Techstars. But Patriot Bootcamp really gives active duty military members some great exposure to the fundamentals of the startup world. It gives them great exposure to investors. It gives them great great opportunities to pitch their ideas and to get feedback from investors, professional partners like myself, you know, lawyers, accountants. And it's very digestible. It's not a long-term commitment. It's typically over a 3 to 4 day period. And then there, you know, from Patriot Bootcamp, there are some other opportunities for folks that are interested in, you know, exploring the startup world, you know, that are transitioning out of the military can really get some interesting resources to figure out if that's exactly what they want to do. And Patriot Bootcamp has produced some really interesting results. I've seen a number of companies that are founders that were moving on from active duty, you know, in the officer ranks or enlisted, you know, had an interesting idea, and they got feedback, they made some connections, and then they were able to scale those businesses quite nicely. And in some cases, they were able to go on and go into a formal accelerator program like Techstars, raise capital, and you know, continue to grow their business. So there, I think the MBA program is a great fit for me, but there are many, many paths.
That's great. And for listeners interested in Patriot Bootcamp, if you check out episode number 137, I interviewed Charlotte Creech, who's in charge of that program, and she goes into a lot of great detail about how Patriot Bootcamp works, some trends that she's seen with veterans who go through the programs, and a lot of great resources in that. So definitely check that out. You mentioned, Charlie, the tremendous amount of variety that goes into your day-to-day and week-to-week. If you could maybe just walk us through either a representative day or, for lack of anything better, yesterday, but in as great of detail as you're comfortable. I know that listeners have talked about enjoying getting a sense for, you know, what time you get to the office, what time you leave, and kind of the specifics of the team size you're working with throughout the day and the types of activity that occupy you.
Yeah, sure. You know, my day is very, very unpredictable. It does not fit the traditional stereotype of a 9 to 5, you know, sort of banker schedule. My companies are, my clients are working constantly to grow their businesses and to solve problems and to support their teams. And so I often find myself working, you know, opportunistically, you know, as needed. So often, when I think about when does my day start, I'm not sure if it ever ends. We have an office in Broomfield, but to my earlier comments, we spend a lot of time, out in the offices of our clients or out in the community talking with other contributors to the community to really get feedback on what may or may not be working with certain industries or certain certain companies. We're trying to again provide as many resources back to our management teams, our clients as possible. So on a given day, I may be on calls with investors trying to figure out, how are they thinking about supporting a company? Their decisions on how they invest in companies affects our decisions on how, when, and what type of loans to put in place for companies. I may be on the phone with the operators of the company themselves, so the CEOs or the CFOs or members of the sales team to figure out how they are progressing along their plans. So at the at the bank, we see how the company is planning to execute on a given year. But I think everybody in the military would agree that any plan, the only thing that's guaranteed is that it's probably not going to be exactly as you planned. Something's going to change, something's going to go wrong, and you're going to have to adjust. So I have a lot of conversations with my companies about how they're adjusting, mid-course to meet a need or capitalize on an opportunity, or to fix problems that may pop up in the company. I mentioned the broader community. I think without a doubt for the startup world, it kind of takes a village to support a company. Here in Colorado, we have it's a very, very collegial, very supportive, very open environment. So I partner with sometimes other bankers, sometimes other lawyers, other accountants, and we'll meet to try to figure out what resources can we bring to the table to help build a local ecosystem. What exposure can we give our local companies to, more of a national platform? We're very much of the belief, rising tide lifts all ships. We are actively lending money. So there's a lot of just administration that needs to happen with our kind of our core business. So often my days will involve legal documents and negotiating terms and conditions of a loan or how we're going to think about deploying capital. So I may be negotiating those points with with a founder at a company or their counsel or some other members of their advisory team to figure out where's the win-win with the bank's needs and our clients' needs. And finally, we're a big team at SVB. We have over 2,400 people all around the world. We're a relatively flat organization, which means we're constantly sharing information between different offices and different product groups. Some organizations get very siloed. You're very much dedicated to kind of your home office, and that's not the way SVB operates. We believe that the data point that my colleague in Austin has about a given company, that's incredibly valuable. So the data point he or she may have on a similar company may be very valuable to my company here in Denver. So we have a lot of info sharing across the platform. I have a team, both a direct team and horizontal team. So I'm constantly trying to figure out ways to optimize what they do and help them kind of move along their career path. Not too dissimilar to the experience a lot of folks have in the military, with their unit or squad or their ship. Their division, trying to figure out how to scale up their folks and give them, new interesting career opportunities. SVB has done a really nice job of that, of making sure that there are interesting opportunities for folks to continue to develop their careers, making sure that they have variety and they continue to feel engaged. For us, that's an investment that the company makes. It gives us the benefit of having incredibly long retention. Many financial services firms tend to churn through employees quite quickly, and In our office, it's not uncommon to have, on a given team, the average tenure at SVB to be in the double digits, which I think is pretty impressive. So, I firmly believe in trying to find ways to, help with the professional development of my team. So that's a core part of what I do. So, it's difficult to answer your question what exactly my day-to-day is, but hopefully that gives a sense of the variety of opportunities I'm juggling to try to serve the market and represent our brand out in Denver.
And for someone who may be on active duty who hasn't had any civilian work experience, can you provide any sort of indications of, why, signs that they may really like this as a career path, and maybe the counterpoint of signs that this might be a poor fit for them to investigate as a career option?
Yeah, I think that Silicon Valley Bank in particular, or more broadly that, any of the platforms that serve the startup community or the innovation community, so, a venture bank or some of the accounting firms that service this community, or a venture firm, or working directly for one of the companies, really have to enter that environment being comfortable with change and being able to, course correct and rejuggle priorities. It's not a great fit for folks that really want a very scripted, scheduled day. Because again, I would say none of no day starts out like I planned. And if I wind up crossing one thing off my proverbial to-do list or goals for the day, that's great. For me, that's an accomplishment. One out of 10 of the things I plan to do that day that I actually got done, just because the environment's changing so quickly. So I think that probably describes a key point of what aspects of the business would appeal to somebody and what aspects might not. Because things do change very quickly, and you have businesses that are under tremendous amounts of pressure, it can be an environment that can tend to get pretty stressful. It's like running drills on a ship. Everybody is kind of firing on all cylinders a lot of the time to make sure things go smoothly. And the last thing that we want to do on our end as the bank is really hold up some important process or decision with our clients. So we're constantly really working quite hard, and the whole team across SVB is working quite hard to make sure that our clients have a really positive experience. As folks are, if the environment sounds appealing, or they've always thought about, the innovation economy, or getting engaged with a startup, I would also encourage them, outside some of the veteran-specific programs like Patriot Boot Camp or the Bunker, I would encourage them to just leverage the network on LinkedIn and reach out to somebody who's had a common experience to you. I think it's really easy for me to translate my day-to-day experiences to somebody that came out of a fast attack submarine, and I imagine the same would be for somebody who's coming out of the any of the other services. But I found, even in my own career development, that the probability is high that a fellow vet is willing to spend some time on the phone and just walk you through their career and their day to day, and give you some good feedback on what it's really like.
That's great, and I think that's a commonality in a lot of these interviews, is the power of those one-to-one connections, and learning about someone with a shared background or doing something that you'd like to do is such a great way to have that, they call those coffee chats, of just getting that sense of where you might fit into this. Another thing I wanted to ask about is, you've mentioned Patriot Boot Camp and Bunker Labs. I was curious, any other resources, and that could be books, podcasts, websites, conferences, anything that's helped you in your civilian career that you would recommend to listeners?
Yeah, for folks that are that again are interested in the startup space, there's a book series by the partners at the venture capital group, the Foundry Group. I think it's a series of four or five books, and it does a great job of talking through some core skills, so some really hard skills that are necessary for the startup world or for the venture world or even applicable to my world. They also talk a lot about startup life, you know, in the context of having a family. They talk about startup communities and the way you can participate, even if you aren't directly a part of the community. I found those books to be great resources, certainly to get to continue to, you know, reemphasize the experience that a lot of my clients are having. And as I mentioned, some of the skills are directly applicable to what I do. Those partners all have active blogging efforts too, Brad Feld and Seth Levine in particular, and then Jason Mendelson. They do a great job of talking through a variety of issues around startup life, you know, ranging from, you know, again, family kind of work prioritization, you know, live work, life work integration, to, you know, some of the mental stresses and, you know, anxiety management and stress management and some of the challenges that they've had entrepreneurs, you know, face as they've been growing companies. And I always find those blog posts to be incredibly helpful. If folks are looking for specific data points, maybe as they're looking at industries, for example, in the broader tech or life sciences world, SVB's website has a lot of great resources, just as trends that we're tracking on a full range of topics, you know, running from HR kind of employee management to specific trends in a given sector to venture capital and private equity. So hopefully those are some resources that would give folks, you know, again, a good sense of the industry and maybe just other data points that they could use in their career path tracking.
That's great. And for our listeners, as always, at beyonduniform.io, I'll add in the show notes for this episode, I'll add links to those books and blogs and other resources. So definitely check that out. I know we're at the end of our time. I always like to reserve this last question just to say, you know, we've covered a lot of ground, a lot of great questions, but I'm sure there's things that we didn't talk about that you would want to share with listeners. And so I'd just like to turn it over to you to share any final words of wisdom for people on active duty or recently transitioned veterans who are listening to this.
Well, first off, I'd like to just reemphasize the network. The transition out of the military, particularly active duty, can be challenging. You're leaving one world, entering another. You know, in my case, I felt like I was behind the curve. I felt very removed from, you know, where the job market was at that time. But you know, don't lose faith, don't lose hope. You know, the advice on the network. I really encourage folks to leverage that, you know, even just as a, you know, kind of a sanity check about what you're doing or, you know, for some encouragement along the path. There are a lot of great just personal resources out there to help you in your decision-making process and then also to really help you make that transition and kind of change your lens with how you're looking at the world. I find that there are, shifting gears a bit, I find that there are, for folks that haven't had any direct or indirect, you know, family experience with the military, I've, you know, found through my professional career that there often can be, you know, some misperceptions about, you know, our experiences and how we think about leadership, how we think about organizations, how we think about structure. And, you know, our experiences in the military are incredibly valuable. But I think it does take some context. It does take some explaining to help translate that to civilian experience. You know, and again, to emphasize, I think the network can help with some of that translation and trying to make an apples to apples comparison. But I would certainly not shy away from playing up the skills and the experiences that you have in the military. But I remind folks that, you know, what we do, particularly on, you know, on active duty, it, you know, it may, folks may need some context to understand that. So stepping back and trying to help help others understand the experience, I think can be really, really helpful.
That's great. And I love that thought on the networking side, and just for listeners to know how eager the transitioned veteran community is to help them in that transition. I think there might be a trend ingrained in a lot of people on active duty to kind of forge their own way or not ask for help. And I think it's something that works to their detriment in that, you know, it is very easy to get a hold of veterans who are willing to help and save you hundreds of hours by sharing some mistakes they've made or lessons learned, maybe even helping you get an interview, and just know that community out there is eager to help you. It may take, you know, reaching out to 10 people to get four to respond just because people are busy and emails slip through the cracks, but don't let that deter you. There's just a lot of people willing to lend a hand to help you in that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to hopefully hearing from some of your listeners and maybe seeing them here at SVB.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and for your time today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Justin. It's my pleasure.
Surface.
Thank you so much for listening. There is so much going on at Beyond the Uniform right now. I'm using the email to keep people abreast of everything going on. So make sure you sign up for our newsletter at beyondtheuniform.io. I'll be making a couple new announcements very, very soon. So stay tuned. Have a great week.